So we just pray, Lord, bless and anoint Ruth, Pastor Ruth, as she shares the word this morning. We just ask that you would so empower her to share with us your promise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you. Year of promise. Wow. Yeah. Several months ago, the Lord spoke to me and he began to tell me that this coming year was a year of promise, and I got excited. And then he began to stir my heart, and it began to brew inside of me what God was doing and saying. And I knew that today, this last Sunday, that I needed to share this message, this year of promise. And I feel like it's significant, and that God wants to speak to you. And this has already been said to you through the service, that this preparation of our hearts that we would receive. So just a side note, an interesting side note. On Friday, I was studying for the word. And Mike came into the office and he said to me, "Do you know what Bill Johnson preached last Sunday?" I said, "No, I have no idea." He said he preached the year of promise. And he's preaching it today too, the year of promise. And so I was like, "God, you're so faithful to me to show me that you speak to me." He speaks to us, church. It isn't just me. He speaks to us. And he wants us to get hold of all that he wants to say to us. And so I almost feel inside that it's hard to share what's all in my heart. So I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would flow through me out to them. And I thank you for that, Lord. So I want to start at a real simple place. I want to remind you of something important. I want to remind you that the God you serve is a covenant-keeping God. That is such an important truth. He is a covenant-keeping God. In Deuteronomy 7:9, look at this. It says, "Understand, therefore, that the Lord, your God," say my God, "is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps," did you see this? "He keeps his covenant for how long?" Well, where's the verse? Deuteronomy 7:9. This is it. Sorry. "He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for how long?" I think you're included in that. What do you think? "And lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands." The truth that he is a covenant-keeping God needs to go deep, deep into your understanding. It actually needs to be at the very foundation of your Christianity, that the God you serve is a covenant-keeping God. It is crucial for you to not only understand that, but to actually know that, to actually walk it out. And because we don't usually use the term covenant very much, it's easy to miss the powerful meaning of it. That's really easy. So I just want to go back to simplicity. Covenant, it is a promise. That easy enough? Covenant is a promise, an agreement. And in order for you to walk fully into 2025 and understand that it is the year of promise, you have to know that God is a covenant-keeping God. So I want to strengthen that understanding a little bit this morning. And if it's review, just take it in. It's good. So in Genesis chapter 15, God comes to Abraham in a vision. It's almost a scary vision. And he made a covenant with Abraham. And what had happened is Abraham had been at battle, at war with a whole bunch of kings, and he had won. And he had not taken his reward. He hadn't taken part of the all the stuff that they leave on the battlefield. He hadn't taken that. And God came to him and he said, I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward. That was interesting because that word came out this morning to John. And that phrase is beautiful in there. Anyway, and then he said, I'm your reward. And so Abraham said, well, what good does it do for me to have all this reward, all this stuff you're going to give me? I don't even have a son to pass it on to. It's going to go to my servant. And he was frustrated that that's what was going to happen. And then God speaks a word over Abraham, just like God spoke a word over some of you this morning, the same way. And he spoke a promise into Abraham's heart. I want you to look at Genesis 15. 5 and 6. It says that the Lord took Abraham outside and he said to him, look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Good luck. That's how many descendants you will have. And then this verse 6. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. You have to understand something. Abraham had zero children, zero. And God speaks this over him. Not only that, he's getting up in age. And he has no children. And God speaks it to him. And this is what Abraham does. He believes God. And it's counted unto him as righteousness. And Abraham actually did what is God is expecting from each of us. It's simply to believe him. Ted, do you believe what God spoke to you this morning? Yes, yes, yes. God wants you and I to believe him. God is still speaking today, church, just like he spoke to Abraham. He's showing us things about ourselves. He's revealing his plans and purposes. He's encouraging us to trust him. Have you believed what the Father has spoken to you prophetically? I mean, I look across the room and one after another, I don't know if there's anyone here that hasn't received a prophetic word. If you haven't, see me afterwards and I will pray over you for one. And God speaks these prophetic words. And the whole purpose is that he sees what you don't see. Amen. And he understands things you don't understand. And his plans for you are so good that he's speaking things over you that you can't even understand and comprehend. Because if you could actually make it happen by yourself, what big deal is that? This has to be God doing it in our lives. All of it. And it had to be God working in Abraham. I want you to look because it's such a beautiful, explains it even better. In Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 13, it says, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. And we just read that. You all heard that, right? He's going to have as many descendants as the stars. And he said, it says, since there was no one greater to swear by, because when you make a covenant, you swear by something. Anyway, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. And then there's a key there in verse 15. It says, Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Is that a picture of your waiting? Waiting patiently. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold on to it. And without question, that oath is binding. Verse 17 says, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God did something incredible. He gave both his promise and his oath so that you'd be doubly sure of a done deal. These two things are, it says, are unchangeable. Because what does it say up there? It is what? It's impossible for God to lie. So when he's been speaking to you things and your physical body isn't looking like what he's speaking, make your physical body line up with what he's speaking, because God is true and man, God doesn't lie. If he's speaking it over you, if he's speaking strength over you, Adrian, then that's the truth. And your body needs to align itself with the truth of God's word. And I command strength to come into you, Adrian, in Jesus' name, because I heard the Father speak that to you last week. And I want you to walk in that fullness of what he's spoken over you. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge, any of you run to Papa for refuge ever? It says, can have a great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. We have hope. That hope is a strong, trustworthy anchor. What he speaks is a strong, trustworthy anchor. Oh, do you feel the depth of that? You see, the word of God is full of promises. So many, I could start right now and begin to list them, and we'd still be here tonight, because there are so many promises. And God took an oath and a promise that what he said, he will do. We can bank on it. It's an anchor. It's something we hold on to. And we need to, as the church, say, okay, God said it, that's the way it is. And I'm going to believe it. I'm going to grab hold of it. And it doesn't always look like it is the problem. Sometimes our circumstances look like the opposite of it. And then we have to go, which is greater, my circumstances or God's word? That's really what we have to come down to. And we have to believe that he loves us and he has good things for us. Because God does what he says he will do. He bound himself with an oath so that we would know he wouldn't change his mind. I challenge you to read what I just read every day this week. It's full of so much that in Hebrews 6. It is so powerful. If you can grab hold of the truth of that, it will take you a long ways. And then I want to take you into another passage where he makes a second promise to Abraham. And it's in the 15th chapter of Genesis. And he tells him that he's going to give him the land that's before him. Abraham owns no land. And he says, I'm going to give you this. And Abraham says to God, well, how am I going to know that this is actually going to happen? And God tells him to bring these animals and put them as a sacrifice and split them and lay them on either side. And Abraham does that, and he's waiting, and he's just waiting. What is God going to do? And he's waiting. And then what happens is a flaming torch, a fire pot and a flaming torch come, and they go right between those carcasses, the split animals, right between them. And in that is a picture that is his very presence coming and coming into that covenant, that he is the one making that covenant. And it's so sure that his very presence comes. And so whenever you see fire in the scripture, it's, you think of the burning bush on the mountainside. It's about God's presence. So even this morning he talked about fire and God's presence coming. And so he makes this covenant with him. So I want to read for you Genesis 15, 17, and 18. It says, and the sun went down and darkness fell. And Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. And so Lord made a covenant with Abraham that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants. Abraham says, prove it to me. Show me that this is really going to happen. This is what God does. And so God comes to Abraham a few chapters later, and he again affirms his covenant to him. And I feel like we need to look at it. It's just one verse, but it affects you and I. Look at 17 of Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, it says, I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you. Are you a descendant after him? From generation to generation. This is so beautiful. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. That's a promise to you. He will always be your God. It is so beautiful, the importance of understanding the covenant of God is the very foundation of a year of promise. Knowing that God does what he says, knowing that God is faithful, knowing that God doesn't lie, that what he says isn't some weird thing in the sky, it's actually truth that he sees about you. And usually it's something enough to make you go, how could that happen? And that's why it's God doing it. Because it could only happen with him. Healing can only happen with him. Salvation can only happen with him. It only happens through him. And so I want to take you to one more place in Galatians chapter 3. Because so often, church, when God speaks something over us, it's trying to figure out how could that possibly be. It's trying to, it's challenging. And so look at this. He says, I asked you again. Does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. And look at verse 7. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. You're a real child of Abraham when you put your faith in him. What's more, the scripture looked forward to the time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all the nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. We get all of that. That's us. So you're wondering, why am I talking so much about covenant? It's because I want you to understand that God is the one who does what he says. And the promises of the Word of God are absolutely true. They are full of promise. The promises of God actually hold the keys to what happens in our lives, how we respond. See, we're not under the law. We're not trying to make it happen for ourselves. We're not trying to do things on our own because we've waited too long. We're not trying to be wise and strategic and figure it all out. No. Our responsibility is actually this, to believe God. To believe God, to take him at his word. Simple, right? So I want you to know something important. There is rest in the year of promise. It's not about striving. There's no striving. In Isaiah chapter 30, God has been talking to the Israelites, and he's telling them he wants to take care of them, and he wants to protect them, and he wants to do this and do that and everything. And they go, no, we're going to hire Egypt to come in and save us. We can't trust God, so we're gonna hire Egypt. And all God wants them to do is to trust him, and he'll save them. And look at Isaiah 30, verse 15. Because I feel like it's a verse that we need to understand and grab hold of. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. And then he said something grievous. He says, but you would have none of it. And I believe God is offering us things. All morning he's been offering and speaking to us and showing us things. And he wants us to come into a place of rest and a place of understanding that in quietness and confidence in him, there comes a strengthening to our very being that we need. Dwight L. Moody said this, "Let one person feed for a month on the promises of God, and he will not talk about how poor he is." I thought it was just beautiful. So I asked you, what might happen if you took hold of even one promise from the Word, and you would not let it go? You said, "I'm going after this." You can take your pick. Doesn't matter what promise you take. There are so many. For every promise of God is a covenant upheld with his promise and his oath. Every single promise. He only asks you to believe. The Word of God is a book that we are called to believe. I love in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, it says, "Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance of things that we can't see. Through faith, the people of old earned a great reputation." So, Lighthouse Church, I believe you're being called into active duty. You're being called to stand with the men and women that are written about in Hebrews chapter 11. Have you read all about the things they did? If you haven't, read Hebrews chapter 11. And I remind you this last Sunday of 2024 that you serve the exact same God that is written about in Hebrews chapter 11. Your God is the same God who enabled David to defeat a giant with a stone. Your God is the same God who caused Peter's shadow to heal the sick. Your God is the same God that fed Elijah with ravens. Birds brought him bread and meat. Can you imagine? You're the same God that enabled, your God is the same God that enabled Noah to build a boat on the mountainside, no less. What in the world? Your God is the same God who translated Philip from one spot to another. He just found himself in a different spot. Your God is the same God that used Gideon to defeat an army with pitchers and torches. Your God is the same God that brought down an impenetrable wall with a shout. Your God is the same God who opened blind eyes and caused a lame man to walk. Your God is the same God that provided a new roof for Lighthouse Church. Your God is the same one, same God that called Lighthouse Church to be a healing center, healing for the body, healing for the mind, and healing for the soul. He's not a God who uses the most gifted, the smartest, the most beautiful. No, he uses ordinary people like you and I that are willing to believe God and take him at his word. So this year of promise, through the years, God has spoken to many of us. Has he spoken to you? He's told us things that we have not seen yet. I've heard God speak to you. I've heard the things he said over you. I've heard the things he wants to do through you. He was showing you his heart. And I'm waiting on promises God has spoken to this church multiple times. You do not understand how many promises I'm waiting on. It's not just prophetic words we're talking about. Maybe you are waiting like Abraham to see the fulfillment of a promise from God's word. Maybe it's salvation of a family member. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's wanting to walk in the gifts. Maybe it's wanting to be free from depression. Maybe it's wanting to be free from pain. Maybe it's you wanting to be courageous. Maybe it's you wanting to have ears that hear the Spirit speak. Maybe it's you wanting to see, have eyes that see in the spirit realm. Maybe it's you wanting open doors that you haven't experienced yet. How many here in this room have had God speak to you something you have not yet seen? Would you stand? Because I want to declare something over you this last Sunday in 2024. I truly believe this with all of my heart. This is a word from the Lord. 2025 is the year that you will see the fulfillment of those things God has promised. It is the year of promise. So last year, God spoke to me about Lighthouse Church being a healing center for the nations. And you ask, how could that possibly be? Or do you say, with God, all things are possible? Yeah. You see, He's been preparing us. He's been speaking to us. He's been drawing us. He's wanting to move through this house. I believe He wants us to be known as a people who will believe God. He wants to add your stories to Hebrews chapter 11. For instance, He wants Lighthouse Church to be known as a place where people's hands grow out. We've been praying for that grandson. We've been praying, believing that God wants to do that. I believe Lighthouse Church will be known as a place where cancer is destroyed. A place where marriages are restored. A place where those who have addictions their whole life are going to be set free. A place where dementia will find restoration. I believe it's a place where ADHD will be brought into full balance. A place where people walk in the door and experience their minds come into full clarity of thought. A place where eyes will see vision, where skin is healed, where livers are renewed and hearts are healed and hearing is restored. We're talking about a healing center, a place where people sense and feel and experience the very presence of God, that fire pot, that burning torch, that fulfillment of promise. Church, there's a whole world inside the church and outside the church that needs to experience the very presence of God. And God is wanting to work through. He works through people. He works through you and I. And our job is really easy. We just have to believe Him like Abraham did. You see, He's looking for someone He can use. I knelt down here this morning and I said, yes. Yes to whatever that looks like. Whatever that means, because there's a lot out there that He showed me that I go, whoa, I'm not sure. And I knelt this morning and I just want you to know, I said, yes, that's what I want. He wants to use you. Why? He wants to use us because God uses the most unlikely to show that He is God. I truly believe this year of promise holds impossible, made possible for you. He told me it's time. He actually prophetically spoke to me and said, it's time. It's time. Can you grab hold of that? 2025 holds things we have never seen before. And we are called to stand firm in believing it is the year of promise. So, Papa, look at those standing. They haven't seen what You've said that You were going to do. They've stood this whole time waiting. They're longing to see the things You've spoken. And I just declare a release of the things God is working in the midst of our people. I release hearts that say, yes, God, no matter what it takes. I declare over you a people that will believe God even when it looks absolutely ridiculous. And I say, God, Mike and I, we present this body of people to You this morning and we say, God, use us to bring healing, freedom and deliverance, salvation. Oh God, the need is great out there. Open our eyes. Cause us to embrace what You're doing in this year. Lord, let us walk fully assured with quiet confidence that you are able to do what you've said you will do. We choose to trust you, Papa. I choose to trust you because you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Michael, would you come and pray over us, please?
Lord, our hearts desire one thing, that you would work in us, through us, with us. Lord, your presence fills us to capacity. Your spirit flows through us. Let it be like a river of living water flowing out of us, touching everyone around. We yield to you, Lord. We give ourselves to you. You said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. He lives in me. He fulfills every desire. He fulfills every promise that God makes. He is the Word of God, and he lives in me. He lives in you. He lives in you. He lives in you. You and the Lord keep you, and the Lord be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord bless you with his peace, quiet confidence that he is Lord. I give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Go in his peace.